todolisthome.com. Welcome. I'm your host, Tony Teolis, and we're keeping track of things to do for a better life. Today is April 15, 2012. This is episode 77 of the To-Do List Home podcast. Get more food now with Buy, Grow, Store, and Use systems. Coming to you from Northern Virginia in the USA. More information on this podcast and others can be found at todolisthome.com. The song of the day is The Golden Cockerel by Glazunov and Steinberg, performed by the London Symphony Orchestra, recorded on Rimsky and Korsakov. Watch and listen through the links that can be found in the show notes. What drives this? This is my way of paying back years of using the internet for research, learning and improving permaculture techniques to help build community, sufficiency, and reliance, retiring at age 55 or younger, and thesurvivalpodcast.com. Go to thesurvivalpodcast.com today and learn how to live the good life if times get bad or if they don't. If you've listened before or if you've come here for the first time, todolisthome.com is a place where I simply keep track of all the neat things that we do around the house for a better life. We try to save you time and money, hence the experiences that we get and the lessons we learn hopefully provide you with some ways to take the shortcuts and learn from our mistakes before getting involved in big projects yourself with not knowing what to do. We try to present you with the most up-to-date information in the easiest-to-find format and in a fun way to do it. And it's portable. It's a podcast. You can take it with you. So, there's other ways you can connect with us as well. You can listen on iTunes and podcasts. Watch the To-Do List Home videos on YouTube channel Tokyo73. Follow us on Twitter and be our friend on Facebook. Links to all of these places are at todolisthome.com. We also have files there that you can download for your to-do lists, and we want you to share your to-do list ideas with us. On our to-do list today is Get More Food Now with Buy, Grow, Store, and Use systems. So, one of the things I need to do is always get more food, grow more food, store more food, and use more food. The topic of this episode is a good one to follow up because the last one was titled Get More Water with Catch, Store, and Use systems, and that was episode 76. Next to water, food is the thing that we humans consume most. I have an important link in the show notes at To-Do List Home to the Institute for the Future. The article linked is a study on four possible food futures for the year 2021. It's imperative that you begin to realize your responsibility to have as little interference between where your food comes from and your dining table. This is a follow-up also to episode 14, in which I described a trip to the Shenandoah Mountains in August of 2011, and our experience with some of the emergency food taste testing that we did there. In short, we learned that most of the food we had purchased for long-term storage was delicious. The stews and especially the blueberries with granola and milk from Mountain House were great. The things that I noted in episode 14 were that we needed to continue our food storage and rotation practices. In short, that means we had to be more vigilant about getting more food more often and storing it properly, and then learning how to rotate it into our regular diet. I'm working to have at least 90 days of food for my entire family, and I would like to stretch that out to 1 year. Currently, we have a mix of short-term and long-term storage food that do the job, but we need something longer-lasting, and I'll get into why in a little bit. The world is full of examples, though, of how important a role food plays in everyday life. When there is not enough, there is hell to pay. Eating is something most people do or want to do at least 3 times a day. You just ate not long ago, or maybe you're eating something now, or you will be eating something again soon. You're not going to stop nourishing yourself, nor should you ever contemplate how you would do that. If the news has taught me one thing, it's that food is important when disaster strikes. Not having food on hand in any emergency can lead to chaos and fear. So it's important for me to go into the bad things that occur when there's not enough food. In times of crisis, whether personal or larger, food security is more important than 401ks, bank accounts, and material assets. A good bank of food can help you through a job loss, depression, lack of enough money or time, or both. And building a food bank is your responsibility, not the government's, not local charities, but yours. When you give up that responsibility to others, you relinquish your freedom to nourish yourself as you see fit. When you consider buying extra food to store and to use it in the future, it's very important to keep in mind a simple principle that I credit Jack Spierko of the Survival Podcast for developing, and that is, eat what you store and store what you eat. This concept should also be expanded to those who garden or plan to garden. You should grow what you enjoy eating and eat what you grow. I remember starting out wanting to grow so much in the limited space that I had, and I really tried to grow a lot. But when it got down to it, I realized after a season that I really don't eat as much cabbage, broccoli, and cauliflower as I thought I might. Plus, those were the hardest plants for me to grow from seed, and they also took the longest to reach maturity. Now in the gardens, I concentrate on what I like most and what my family likes most, and it's still a large variety, but more focused on goodies such as cherry and stapice tomatoes, habanero peppers, okra, yellow squash, cucumbers, edamame, beans, radish, blackberries, strawberries, raspberries, elderberries, and blueberries. Not to mention lots of herbs like oregano, thyme, chamomile, parsley, chives, basil, and mint. Well, what are the hard and soft emergencies that could bring on the need for stored food? Hard emergencies are those that have a greater reach than your own household, like a neighborhood or larger disaster caused by the forces of nature or man that are beyond our regular control. These could be natural occurrences like earthquakes, tornadoes, volcanic eruptions, etc., or man-made like energy crisis, financial crisis, things that lead to the inflation of food prices. And softer emergencies are those that occur to possibly just you or your family, such as job loss, not having enough money for all of your food needs, illness which prevents you from getting your food needs, etc. Food is also at the mercy of energy prices, and as we continue to see this high in fuel costs, we will be dealing with more expensive food. Everything involved in our way of getting food as it stands today involves a large-scale and complex use of energy to get it from point A to point Z, which is usually what it takes unless you grow your own. Stored food that you have on hand can be used as a great backup in the emergencies described. But rather than wait until disaster strikes to experiment with stored food, it's a good idea to start cooking with stored food now. Who knows? You may find you like what you're storing, or that you hate it, or that your kids hate it. Make it a fun, family-oriented activity. Food that you would typically store for emergencies is a great resource for adding to camping supplies. Rather than turn your camping trip into a trip to the supermarket, just go to your food stores and pack up enough for an overnighter or two and see how well you do. Even if it's just a tent in the backyard, having this experience is really rewarding. If you do wish to go camping and want to take along some stored food, I really recommend using the outing as a chance to try out Mountain House's 72-hour emergency food pack. Some food that you can purchase for long-term storage can turn out to be regular staples to your diet. In our family, we eat the Honeyville grain dehydrated diced potatoes on a weekly basis. They make awesome Sunday morning home-fried potatoes, and they taste great when they're baked as well. The Honeyville grain hot cocoa is another popular item for us. The kids love it in wintertime, and I enjoy a scoop in my morning coffee. More recently, we've been enjoying the Mountain House blueberries with granola and milk. I can't get enough of it. Some of these items are found in the links in today's show notes at todolisthome.com. There are many ways to get this food, and as I mentioned, there's some links to the places that will be the providers. But we really like big box stores like Costco and Walmart because they can't be beaten for deals you find on canned meats, soups, dried foods, water, and a host of other supplies. The canned chicken pictured in today's show notes is from Costco. The corn was dehydrated from frozen. The carrots were dehydrated, as were the chives, and both of those came from my gardens. Online, there is a plethora of providers, and it can be confusing. I link to my favorites, which I have found to be the most cost-effective as well. Amazon for the Mountain House 72-Hour Emergency Meal Kit. There's free shipping and no tax. I use ready-made resources for all other Mountain House food. Free shipping is awesome when you buy 6 large cans or more. I also throw another mention to Honeyville Grain. As a Survival Podcast member, Support Brigade member, I get an additional 10% off of all purchases at Honeyville Grain. But be careful because it's easy to get confused buying food in a new way. So start small and learn what you like, then make more orders as you progress. Ways to store food can vary almost as much as your space and creativity. I recommend doing the bug-out bags first. One for everyone in your family, and each one with 72 hours of food and water per person. Next is to store some long-term goods in 5-gallon buckets, but I'm not suggesting 5 gallons of beans and rice. Do 5-gallon buckets with a variety of things that can make complete meals. For example, in one bucket you can put a week's worth of pasta, sauce, canned meat, and bread mix. Fruits and vegetables can be dehydrated, and we do quite a bit of that with homegrown food as well as store-bought foods. I link to a great lady named Tammy whose website is Dehydrate to Store, and I also link to her educational YouTube videos. Meat can be processed at home for long-term storage, and we have made some biltong according to Jack Spierko's recipe. Biltong is beef jerky done South African style. That's the best way I can explain it. The links at todolisthome.com will provide more information. Dehydrated food can be stored in jars with oxygen absorbers, and biltong can be stored in Ziploc bags in the freezer. Having a pantry is important for any food storage system. A well-organized pantry can help with storage as well as meal planning based on how the items are placed on the shelves. And you can be creative. A suitcase under the bed can hold a lot of food and it can be easy to transport. So the advice is to be smart, be creative. I have to take this advice myself about how we keep our food in our home. One thing to remember is that, no food system should be all located in one place. A food system should be diverse and located in different areas. Thus, if a disaster hits one area of the home, not all areas may suffer, and as a result, you may have food that survives particular disasters, maybe like localized fires. The ways in which stored food can be eaten vary greatly, but you should be prepared for everything from no heat to using the oven and all things in between. So if you plan on heating food while you're on a run and camping or when you're bugging out, it might be a good idea to make sure you have a portable stove and portable gas to bring along. Variety is important and preparation is easy if you know how to find the right recipes. These days I've been using allrecipes.com and it has really helped to expand my culinary skills. The picture in the show notes is one of the ingredients and resulting chicken chowder that we made with carrots and corn and potatoes from our long-term stored foods. That's it for today. Now go and start storing some food for the future because you can't afford to wait until it gets here.